now, in colour, Tim Firth, Tim de Jong, Michael Rutger and William Van Dijk.
Well, this week is a bit special. In fact, it's so special that my mum and dad have come down from the north just to be here.
Yeah, Firthy, this must be the first time they've ever seen London.
No, Mike, they're very cosmopolitan, actually.
Oh, where are they now, then?
Well, they got out of Euston Station and I left them standing in a group pointing at the first large building they saw.
Anyway, the last show of the last series ended with us getting locked out of the studio and tramping around London.
Yeah, so this time we're going to take the audience on a luxury trip around the capital. And we're starting up here in the spectacular setting of the Post Office Tower.
While we're up here, can someone just witness this, please?
Put that down!
I thought I'd go for the world shot put record while I'm up here.
Here goes!
No! Oh, my God! Look out below!
Great! That's a throw of 847 metres.
Beats the existing record of 2217 metres, I think.
Yeah, I think you'll have some trouble verifying it, though.
Front of the circle to where it hits the ground, what's the problem?
Well, mainly that group of people down there all shouting, can someone get an ambulance for Roy Castle?
Right, what's the itinerary for the day, Firthy?
Right, from the Post Office Tower, we go straight into the nearest spud you like.
Yep. Then?
That's it. I thought we could spend most of the day in there.
What day?
It's all right. There's tons of different toppings.
Give me that book. What? The Northerner's Guide to London, page one. London is a city of 12 million people, mainly Nancy boys with wobbly lower lips and no chins who aren't like us. No one says hello in the street. Come back to the north, son of mine. The mountains are calling. The mountains are calling. Right. Here we go. Let's see. The rest of the pages are mainly route maps back to the north.
Great.
Right, are we ready to move on?
Yep. First stop, Tower of London. Brilliant.
Remember how last time we were locked out?
And now in colour, athletics update.
And Steve Cram said he was paranoid about these Commonwealth Games. But the result says it all. First, Steve Cram. Second, the bloke who's been following him.
In 1987, a very special accolade was bestowed on pop songwriters Anthony Tripp and Colin Harvey. They were taken on as songwriters in residence by Preston Borough Council.
Aye, they were inspired by that poet laureate thing they have. We wanted the lads to provide a song for every major civic event in Preston.
The year started off promisingly.
I grabbed Jenny and we ran to the park. I was too moved to speak. She said, what's the matter? And I brushed the rain from her cheek. I wiped my tears of joy away and said, have you heard the news? They've completed the Matlock bypass 2 months ahead of schedule.
The upbeat ballad of the Matlock Bypass was followed in March by their dance number, Hey Girl, Your Town Hasn't Got a New One-Way System with Ample Bus Lanes. But by July, the lads were concerned that their songs were tonally predictable, melodically unadventurous, and all about roads. Then came change, a new civic development, and a haunting love song.
Thrushes leave a song upon the wind, like footprints in the sand. And in the darkness of the night, I'll reach and take your hand and lead you to the Arndale Center, where I will kiss you in the W.H. Smiths, and I'll hold your hand in Lasky's, and in Ratner's the jewelers.
This song, which managed to mention every single shop in the new Arndale Centre, was hailed by the Preston Borough Council as a towering achievement, but by the New Musical Express as a slightly puzzling list of shops.
Aye, it were all going fine, until August.
In August, the relations between songwriters and council took a dramatic turn. As civic leaders prepared for their annual visit to the German twin town of Bol Mannheim, Tripp and Harvey wrote their first council protest song.
It's a flagrant and abhorrent squandering of taxpayers' money. Sending 12 adult counsellors on 2 weeks paid holiday when there's no books in the schools. But don't worry, you go and eat your flaming breakfast.
The dream was over. Armed police were sent in to disband the songwriters and indeed the rebel civic council they'd set up. When we left them in November, Tripp and Harvey were spending the last months of their contract apparently developing the use of music in civic underpasses.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for...
Cheers.
And now in colour, a reading from the Gideon's Bible.
And lo, did Ameth, son of Ben-Thuzalem, on the seventh day of his journey, arrive at a hotel. And he did moan about his room, even though he was secretly chuffed to be staying in a hotel at all. And he did pathetically stuff his pockets full of complimentary soap and shower. And he did prod the television, cast his eyes up to the heavens and wail, "Wherefore art the dodgy film channel I was promised?" And the Lord did show him, and he did watch it 6 times on the run. And lo, at eventide did he grow weary of trying to unscrew the hairdryer from the wall. And he did search for something to read in the drawer. And he did there find the Gideon's Bible and a shoe polish machine instructions. And he did read the shoe polish machine.
And now here on Capital Radio, an emergency notice. Could a Mr. Tim Firth come and collect his family, who at present are causing acute traffic congestion by running round Piccadilly Circus, pointing at all the red double-decker buses?
I spy with my little eye something beginning with A.
Aerials?
No.
Ambulance?
No. Azaleas.
Where?
In the window of that house in Boreham Wood, 13 miles.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Can't play I Spy on top of the post office tower. Look,
no.
Tell you what we ought to do in situations of isolation like this.
Play football.
No.
Share our innermost secrets.
I haven't got any.
Says Mr. Warmth. Come on, Will, you must have something. What's your darkest secret?
Well, there is one.
What?
You three are all my sons.
Oh, look, come on, it was a serious one. What do you expect, for God's sake? Right, okay, Ferdy, your idea, you start.
Well,
I've got one.
I once worked at MI5.
Christ, really? What department?
Bedding.
You don't mean MFI?
Oh, what did I say?
Well, look, lads, and this has to go no further, right?
Yeah.
Right, we don't mention it ever to anyone outside the group.
No, right. Okay.
All right. Yep. I once went, right, to Wales.
Yeah.
Well, this is a real scorching confession session we've got going here.
Come on, let's have some juicy stuff. Mike.
Well, nothing much, really.
Surprise, surprise. You can't have secrets in the South because everyone's lives are exactly the same.
No. So you don't want to hear about the night I spent with Bananarama in a Cornwall hotel, then?
No, well, actually, I have an even bigger secret.
Hang on, Mike, I do straight here.
I have to say here and now that I once cheated in the London Marathon.
How?
I run it in one of those large furry costumes that makes it look like you're riding an ostrich.
And what's the problem?
It wasn't a costume, it was a real ostrich.
And now in colour, we look back on the life of Gerald Bartlett, professional square dance caller.
Bow to your partner, everybody clap, everybody turn around, and 2 steps forward, raise your hand, take your partner's wallet or purse. 2 steps back now, come to me, give me all that money. Back on the dance floor, 1, 2, 3, get a taxi to Southampton.
When he got out of prison, Although a reformed man, he remained unable to find a use for his gifts and was last seen a broken creature.
Actually, we interrupt this broadcast to go live to the siege at the Pizza Casa, Finsbury Park, where there's been a recent development. David?
We've reached a crisis point, Peter. The armed robbers are demanding money now, and the police are saying they must give themselves up straight away. It's just a powder keg here, and wait, a new negotiator seems to have arrived.
You will not be able to escape. Let the hostages go. Throw your weapons out. Come out with your hands up. Give yourselves up to the police. Beat yourselves up. And find confession. 1, 2, 3. Everybody plead guilty. Yeah.
And it's all over. It's all over. The crowd are cheering with delight. Peter.
And now the model shipping forecast issued for boats on Waterloo Park Pond. Tennis court end. Fair. Beware crisp packets. Danger of tennis balls. Later. Up to 6. Falling fast. Smashing windows in the pavilion. Good. Park keeper 78. And rises slowly. And that concludes this model shipping forecast. Made up by me just now.
It is cold outside. It's freezing to think, no. It's really cold. Everyone is freezing, and there's nothing else to do but eat.
That was the Icelandic national anthem.
It gets a bit dark up towers, doesn't it? I'm freezing.
I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah. Talking of which, Mike, was it Bananarama before the tall one left?
No, forget it.
Yeah, sure. Sorry. I mean, was it a big hotel?
Will you shut up? Well, how are we going to get down? Let's have some constructive suggestions.
I'm writing a poem.
Oh, great. Well, that'll help, won't it?
It's called Stuck Up on Top of the Post Office Tower When It's Dark.
Right. Yes, sir.
I didn't know you wrote poetry.
Well, you see, there's poetry in all of us.
Oh, yes. Is there poetry in you?
Are you kidding? The North is the most fertile ground for poetry in the country. John Cooper, Clark, Ted Hughes.
Oh, God, here we go. The Northern poets. My love is like a red, red, black pudding.
Now, what kind of ignorant, stupid...
There's not poet in all of us, anyway.
There is. All right, I'll tell you what, I'll prove it. Here's some scrap paper, everyone. Right, write 4 lines of poetry now. Don't think of it, just do it. The first thing that comes into your head. Go. Stop. Right. Go on, Mike, read it out. Don't worry if it's a little ragged, you know, it's raw poetry from the soul.
Willow, softened on the cheek of autumn, flushed maiden hangs by limpid water.
Not bad. Will?
I am Sammy the seal. Here's my little flipper. Watch me catch a kipper.
Well,
Don't say anything. Anyone could write vague rubbish like Willow's flushed maiden.
Is mine rhymed?
Poetry doesn't have to rhyme. Listen to my one. Shoe flew too cute. Oh no, this does rhyme actually.
Will, poetry should be expressive. Didn't they teach you that at school?
Yeah, they did. Poetry should be expressive. Rhyme and contain 4 lines, each 2 inches in length.
Is that anything to do with your military public school upbringing?
Oh, we're going to start dragging our schools in right now, are we?
Yeah, got a bit of a chip on your shoulder about your military school, haven't you, Will?
We did a lot of artistic stuff at our school.
Oh, like what?
Country dancing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. All 200 of us. In lines of 4, on this big concrete square.
Well, that was marching, wasn't it?
Well, we did loads of theatre productions as well. Really artistic ones. I was in Macbeth.
Really? Well, that is quite good.
Yeah. I used to love the rhythms of Shakespearean dialogue. I can still remember how it goes.
Where will we 3 meet again? Thunder, lightning, or rain?
Hello, British Gas.
Yes, I was phoning about fires. Can you do me a quotation?
Oh, certainly, sir. Fires are like men, they go out when unattended, may well.
And now in colour,
The Thoughts of a Conductor.
And you join us here in the Albert Hall as Sir Anthony Hastings takes the stage to conduct the English Symphony Orchestra playing Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto No. 1. Ah, oh, I think this could be a bit of a disaster. I mixed up the two dates in my diary. I wonder if anyone will notice I'm dressed for badminton. I haven't got my baton with me or anything. Just this snooker wrist I picked up in the Circle Bar. It's a bit long, really. Ah, yeah, that's better. Now. Oh, well, that's got off to a pretty good start. Now, let's see. What is this piece of music? Oh, it's not the theme to Ski Sunday, is it? Oh, well, doesn't matter. Just wave the stick about like normal. Up and down and... Oh, I think I'll sign my name in the air as well. Sir Anthony Hastings. Oh, pianist looks rather surprised. Hey, don't I recognise the bloke at the back on percussion? Yeah. He dented my Volvo after the Brook violin gig. Right, mush, let's give you a few things to do, shall we? And point. That's for saying I didn't look in the mirror before reversing. That was for not believing me when I told you for insurance purposes my name was Brian Pant. And that, oh, hang on, it's not him at all. Oh well, I don't suppose anyone noticed. I know, now let's really wind everyone up. Yeah, come on, faster, faster, yeah. And now let's see what happens if I put the stick up my nose and do a mime of a moose hand jiving. What do you know? It turns into the theme from Ski Sunday.
Passenger flight Transair 236 to air control. Over.
This is air traffic control 236. Over.
Roger, good evening. We are approaching, awaiting clearance to land. Over.
T236, this is traffic. You're clear to land at Helsinki National Airport. Over.
Okay, Helsinki? This is the Manchester Gatwick shuttle.
Oh, not again. Everyone does that on night flights.
What?
Mistakes the North Sea oil platforms for Didcot and Swindon. Hey, Fred, we got another one. Tell them there's a ferry service.
Oh, my God, I can't... Oh, this is Helsinki.
I'm sorry, 236, you are cleared for landing at London Gatwick, level 23. It's Jesse's Ridge's birthday, and we've cracked a bottle of bubbly in here. And... Oh, he's steady with that.
Look, will one of you give me proper clearance, please?
Yeah. What's that do?
Who's that?
Would it be okay if we let Colin from the canteen bring you in, Captain?
No, it would not. God almighty.
Right, look at that. T236, the radar shows you've been followed by a large unidentified object, 20 degrees to starboard. Please confirm.
What? Negative.
No, it's definitely there.
I can't see anything.
Reg, that's a hula hoop on the radar.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Will you, for God's sake, get someone in there who knows what they're doing? What's that? Control, I just heard something...
It's all right, Captain. It's just Reg falling over. You are now clear of the stacking system.
Thank God.
Please approach Traps Hill Safeways for a pickup to Loughton Station.
What?
I think we're picking up the taxis. Yeah. Okay, T236, go to runway 1.
Right, releasing undercarriage. Approaching now.
Can you see the runway?
Check it. The long one with red lights, yes.
No, I'm coming... No, not that one. It's just been retarmed.
Retract wheels. Guys, which runway?
Track 2.
Oh, my car's parked on that one.
Three's just a pretend one.
Help!
T-236, you're going to have to land on the helicopter pad.
What? The helicopter? It's too late. Hold on. God, the brakes are good on these things.
Are you all right, Captain? How are your passengers?
Well, they're all in the cockpit.
And now the weather.
It's a mild night, 12 degrees centigrade, so that means a bit of a warm evening for everyone across the city, unless you're up the post office tower, where it's absolutely freezing.
What a way to end the series.
The stars are amazing, aren't they?
But De Niro's waiting.
My, seriously, this Bananarama thing, I mean, isn't
that... You know, that constellation...
That constellation up there is Ursa Major, the Great Bear.
Really?
Yeah, and that one is Cassiopeia, the Maiden.
Oh, right.
And that's Pantheus, the warrior with the red and green flashing bow tie. Oh, no, that's a plane, sorry.
Let's talk about something cheerful.
Fear.
What's your greatest fear, Will?
I know no fear. I was taught that at school. We had lessons in no fear after gym.
The militaristic, class-sustaining rubbish.
It was not.
What was your school motto?
We're better than the oiks.
I don't know how you can even own up to it, Will.
You have to be proud of your background, like Chuffer Morgan Jones.
Who?
He's the first ever public school stand-up comedian.
Ah, what happened?
Well, he did an open spot, an alternative comedy club in the East End, and he started off with... Have you ever noticed how your fag never really gets the grit out of your riding harness? He was kicked to death. Tell you what, Will, let's keep warm by playing some good old playground games.
Oh, good God, I hate to think what the northern playground games are like. What did you do, pull the wings off pterodactyls or something?
Right, that's it. I'm screaming, I'm fed up of you getting at the north, right? It's a brilliant place and you're a sudden git and you don't know anything.
I think you've upset Firthy.
Yeah, you shouldn't keep taking the mick out of him, Mike. Don't cheer him up.
Oh, all right. Firthy?
Hmm.
Look at this piece of tin foil. Isn't it shiny? Do you want to play with it?
I'm not middle class, but it does annoy me that they've stopped doing Dewberry shampoo at the body shop. I'm not middle class, but there are store assistants at Marks and Spencer's who now wave when I go in. And when the bloke from British Gas doesn't turn up to sort out my heating, I never think...
Oh, he must be ill or had an accident.
I always think...
Honestly, I bet he's just sitting in the van round the corner with a fag and the Daily Star.
I'm not middle class, but I buy Brazilian yams from Sainsbury's and leave them out so my friends come round and they all say,
oh, what are those?
And I can say,
just Brazilian yams.
And inside I am going
1-0,
and I go round to theirs and see the book left on their coffee table and I go,
Foucault's Pendulum.
But I only know the type, 'cause that's the book that I leave lying around as well. And I talk to my friends about politics and socialist philosophy, and all the time I'm thinking,
please don't fiddle with the TV remote, it does wear the batteries down.
And where I used to laugh, now I actually quite look forward to getting the little magazine that comes with my credit card.
Well, I know it sounds silly, but I got this really useful baked potato cooker. You know, you put the potato in it, and then you put them both in the oven.
Yeah, well, I got Marjorie this fabulously useful little thing, where you put your fingers in it, and it dries your fingernails.
Yeah, well, we finally managed to get a thermal foot spa for the dogs. You know, it came with a leather cover for my toolkit.
Right, well, you know my personalised gear stick end?
Mm-hmm.
The personalised golf ball maker? Mm-hmm. And the personalised Radio Times binder?
Yeah.
Well, now I've got a personalised mahogany box to keep them all in.
I'm not middle class, but I used to go on marches for Nelson Mandela, and now I go camping in France with friends who say,
we're thinking of getting a 10-top duvet for the summer and a 13.5 for the winter, actually.
And the sad thing is, I think,
That's quite a good idea.
Suddenly I realised when I was 18, I promised myself I'd never end up middle class, so I think,
hey,
I'm still a rebel.
And I'll wind down the window and put my arm on top of my Volvo, and I crank up the radio and cruise round the crescent with it blasting out the financial world tonight. And I tell myself,
you only start being middle class when you start thinking there's a class below you.
And I drive up to my pressure group to stop them building council flats on my golf course.
Okay, Tim, the bin is the wicket, that piece of wood's the bat. Firthy, stop sulking, you're the umpire. Mike and the audience are fielding, and I'll bowl. Okay, first ball, first over. Ah!
Oh, ball's gone over the edge. Well, that wasn't on the cards at all, was it? Well, this being at the top of the post office tower.
You know, Mike, in the game of life, some people get on the field and play their guts out, and some people sit on the touchline and moan about their thermos flask.
And what category am I in?
Neither. You're a git.
Do you want to make something of it?
Hey, come on. I'm not sure it's the best way to end a show, with a fist fight between the cast.
It does happen, actually, Tim. Yeah. Final scene of Jonathan Miller's Uncle Vanya once ended up with Judy Dench pinning Alec McCown against a pillar, screaming, "My hangers stay in my dressing room, right?"
So we did all this in O-level sociology. The best thing to do is to air petty grievances in an open seminar session.
Right. Okay, right. Mike first.
Well, I must say it does annoy me that Will is so dismissive and obstructive and possessive.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. And Will?
Well, it does annoy me that Mike is... Well, the mic is, actually. The mic is, at all.
Right! And how would you clearing the air seminars cope with this happening?
I don't know. They always ended up in a scrap.
No, I'm calm. I reject aggression.
Didn't know you did all that yoga stuff, Mike.
Oh, yeah. I went on a weekend meditation course at the Minak Youth Centre with the chief guru, Banu Rana. Oh, no, Will, sorry, that's who it was in the Cornwall Hotel.
What? Right. That's it. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to shoulder down the door. Stand back, everybody! Ah! Yeah, pretty solid door, that.
I've got an idea. Anyone got any plasticine?
Plasticine, yeah, that bloke in the audience house. Can we, cheers.
Great, thanks a lot. Right.
What are you making?
It's a little man. How are you getting on with the door?
Tim! Oh, God. Right, the whole audience, shoulder the door down, right? On a count of three. One, two, three.
This isn't the stairs. Didn't this used to be a revolving restaurant?
Yeah, I think it did, actually.
I wonder if it still works.
Tim, don't touch that.
Hey, it does! Look, we're going round!
Stop it!
What's this button do? Stop it, Tim! Look! This horse has come down and everything!
Stop it, Tim!
We've got to run to keep level with the mic, Tim!
What does 33 RPM mean?
Tim, no!
Run, Will, keep up!
I'm giving up! I know in colour was written number 4-5. Tim Burt, Tim Leong, Michael Rutger, and William Van Dyke. The sound was by John Whitehorn, and the producer was Lisa Evans.
Hey! What does emergency stop do?
No press that at 50 revs a minute, we all go through the wind!
Oh, my leg. Where are we? That's that bloke, Mike.
Excuse me, sir. Where are we?
Bonjour.
And now in colour was written before by Tim Burr, Tim York, Michael Wagner, William Van Dyke, Deputy Awards, Lisa Evans. Yeah!